Okay, I know a number of people need to leave, so I know when you're in yeshiva, you have plenty of time. You sit through everything, you attend everything, but when you're here in YU or the other places that you guys are in, you know, time is of the essence, and everybody has busy schedules. So first of all, I want to express my appreciation for everybody for taking out from their busy schedule to be here. It gives me tremendous chizuk to see the glow on your faces that Baruch Hashem, even though you left Eretz Yisrael, even though you left Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, I see that so many of you, the glow on your face, the Torah, is still there and is still steiging. It gives me tremendous nachas. I'm going to say three different ideas, and then we'll conclude. And also, Rishus Rav Singer, of course, for always organizing all the alumni things in America. We really appreciate him. First of all, he drove me tonight, and also everything he does on a regular basis, and also for being here tonight. It's all in his Rishus. I always say over this story every year when I come before Pesach, and I'm going to say it again, but I'll say two other ideas. And forgive me because I'm a little bit tired, but fine. Number one, you know, the Yehuda had a Talmud who went totally off the derech. Not only did he go off the derech, he became a priest. And the Noda Yehuda wanted to see if he could bring his Talmud back to Yiddishkeit. And he knew that this priest would always open the window of his church, or wherever he stayed, his monastery, at a certain time. And if he stood out, he stood outside by the near the where the window faced the town square. And if he looked outside and he saw him, and he laid eyes on him, maybe he could bring him back to do tshuva, and he'd be optimistic that he could bring him back. So he went at this particular time of day that the guy opens the window, and sure enough, he opened the window and he saw him, and he came running down to his Rebbe, the Noda Yehuda, and they started to schmooze a little bit what happened, and the priest turned to Noda Yehuda and he explained to him why and how he became this priest. He used to be a prized student of Noda Yehuda, and over a certain amount of time he became a priest. So he told him, he said, Rebbe, don't you remember a number of years ago on Pesach I brought you a potato kugel that had a shiloh about chometz. What had happened was a neighbor had made a potato kugel on Erev Pesach, and there was a shiloh if a little bit of chometz fell in that potato kugel, and on Chol HaMoed they saw some remnants of the chometz in the potato kugel. And the woman didn't know what to do with the potato kugel. So she went to this Talmud of Noda Yehuda. She said, what should I do with this potato kugel? Can I eat it? So the Talmud of the Noda Yehuda said, I don't know. I don't know if you're allowed to eat this potato kugel, but I'll bring it to my Rebbe, the Noda Yehuda. So he brought the kugel to the Noda Yehuda. Now we understand that chometz before Pesach is botel b'shishim. But chometz that gets mixed in on Pesach is not botel at all. So the Noda Yehuda said, listen, Meikar Adin, since it became a taroba, since it became a mixture before Pesach, Meikar Adin is its mutter. But from the chumra of Pesach, you shouldn't eat it. So this man said, okay. So he heard the Pesach, and he's on his way home, and he said, you know what, I developed a great taiva for this potato kugel. And I said, you know what, what was ringing in my ears was that the Rebbe said, from the letter of the law, it's totally mutter. So he decided to eat the potato kugel. He told the woman, hey, the Rebbe said, because of the Chumra of Pesach, this kugel should not be eaten. But then after he ate it, and after he told the woman that, he started to feel guilty, because what was ringing in his ears was, the Rebbe said, the Chumra of Pesach, he shouldn't eat it. And he felt so bad about himself. That night, he could barely daven Maariv. He had a terrible davening. And then he was about to go to sleep, he says, Kriyas Shema Shemitah. I can't say Kriyas Shema Shemitah. I ate Pesach, I ate Chumra and Pesach. He woke up the next morning, he said, I can daven? How can I daven? I ate what was could be chometz and pesach. I barely said marav. I didn't say kriyas shalamita. He didn't say berachos. He didn't go to shacharis the next morning. He didn't go to shacharis. He barely lived the whole day, and gradually a downward spiral happened. So the Noda Yehuda gave him chizuk. He inspired him. I think if I remember correctly, the end of the story is that he brought him back. He brought him back to be a Baal Teshuva. But the lesson of that Talmud of the Noda Yehuda is so powerful. How can we? A person makes a mistake. We live a life of nisyanus. One of my rabbis always says, if you're not being challenged in life, you're not alive. right? If you're not having a nisoyon, if you're not having a challenge in life, then you're not alive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives challenges to the people that are alive, that He loves. Right? That's the whole point of life, to overcome the challenges. So of course, this Talmud of the Navi Yehuda made a mistake. He ate a potato kugel that he should not have eaten. Of course. But you get up, you brush yourself off, and you move on. And that's how you should die. We know, of course, the passage that you've heard 1,000 times, but that's exactly the point. Sheva yipol tzadik kam. You have to hear it 7 times, and 7 times, and 7 times, you have to hear it 1,000,000 times. The only way to become a tzadik, the way to understand the pasuk, the only way to become a tzadik is to fall 7 times and get back up. That's life. I'm going to look around this room now, Baruch Hashem, the guys that came, you know, and I think about what goes on when people leave yeshiva. It's. I don't want to give a heter, so to speak, that, but it's the reality is people fall. Where they fall very hard, medium hard, lightly hard. Everybody falls. In all areas of life, a person falls. Mm-hmm. And that's part of life. Right? I was reminded, I remember that this year before Yom Kippur time, I listened to a shiur by a man named Akiva Bergman, who happens to be a businessman at Balabas in Lawrence, trans Talmud Chacham. I happened to see him in shul a few days ago, and I remembered, I don't know him at all, actually, but I saw him a few days ago, and it reminded me of the story that he told that I said over before Yom Kippur. He told a story about a friend of his who worked for some sort of lighting company, a very large company, and the old boss was leaving and he was going to sell the company, and this young, relatively young guy in the company said, you know what, I want to buy it. So he said, how are you going to buy it? Obviously, you don't want to buy a company or anything big. What do you have to do? Take out a loan. So he went to 24 banks to ask them for a loan to buy this company, and the 25th bank said yes. And he was able to buy this company, and eventually he became obviously very successful, and the company became successful. And I think the way the story goes is that somebody visited him in his office, and what did he keep? The 24 letters from the first 24 banks, he kept those letters. Why? Because he failed and failed and failed and failed and failed, but he didn't give up. And by the 25th bank that he approached, he got his loan, and that led to his success. Rabbi Yisai, that's life. Whether it's in business or in Torah, which is obviously the Iker, is that we fail, we get up. That's life. And I think the most important thing of a guy who comes back to America and who has to go through challenges in the morning Seder and learning and in his davening and his afternoon, which is generally related to general studies, the reality is he's going to be challenged. And there are going to be many pitfalls and blocks and obstacles. And it's going to happen. But you got to say, listen, it's not a contradiction. I'm just going to try harder. Right? Reminds me of a quote that I used with an old Talmud who I've spoken to for many, many hours. And he himself, on his own computer, he had, I remember I once visited him in his apartment here in NYU. He has his apartment. The quote from Wilson something. What's the quote from the Seahawks? Russell Wilson. That's a, just kidding. Right? I never said it was going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. That's really a slogan for life. It's not going to be easy. It is serious, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. That's number one. Number two, there's a piece I saw in this new sefer that one of the Talmidim just bought me. I took one of my favorite authors, Shlomo Levenstein. I took many of you to go see him. So he asks a kasha that I never thought of. The kasha goes like this, that by Pesach, right? Pesach Matzah Morah. If you never say Pesach Matzah Morah, if you don't say Pesach Matzah Morah, you're not Yotze. And what is Pesach? Pesach is Ashum Ma? Ashem says the Baal HaGadol, Ashum Shepasach Kodesh Baruch Hu, Abot Yavosinu B'Mitzrayim. This is actually something you can say over the Seder. Unbelievable kasha. We are excited about, right? The matzah represents B'chipazon, right? The Morah represents the bitterness, and Pesach represents that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Pasach Abot B'nei Yisrael. Now, we're excited about that. That God, Kodesh Baruch Hu, passed over our house and didn't kill us. Didn't kill our firstborns. What? I can't believe I never thought about this question before in my life. We have to thank Hashem that He passed over our houses and didn't kill our firstborns? Let me tell you the following mashal to explain the question. Right? You meet a guy in a dark alley. He beats the living daylights out of you. Okay? They catch him. They arrest him. And they throw him in jail for 3 years. And the judge turns to the victim and says to the victim, you know what? You should be making a party. You know why? Because I'm not throwing you in jail. What? You're not throwing the victim in jail, and that's why he should make a party? No, he should make a party because he survived. But isn't that what we're saying? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring a Korban Pesach, you know why? Because you passed over the Jewish houses and didn't kill our firstborns. Why would we deserve, why would the Jewish firstborns deserve to die? Weren't we oppressed for 210 years in slavery? Of course we had a freebie. So that's the kasha. So Shlomo Levinstein develops an idea to answer this question. It's not his question. It's really the question of the Siach Yitzchak. Okay? I think it is his question, but it's the Yisod. The answer comes from the Siach Yitzchak. Not really sure where that is, but it comes from the Siach Yitzchak. But in order to answer the question, in order to understand the answer, he tells over Rabbi Elmaleh's favorite mashal. Okay? Now, I'll just tell it in short, because I'm sure you've heard it many times. Right? There's a guy from the village. The village guy, he heard about this new thing called the train. Right? He saves that money for 3 years, and he goes to buy a ticket to the train, takes a horse, and gets there, and he's like, and the person at the ticket office says, where do you want to go? He's like, I don't know. He said, okay, fine, I'll give you, and he saves all his money. So he basically takes the ticket for the farthest distance, and of course, in first class, and he goes to first class where his ticket is, and he sees people that are dressed like some of the guys here, beautifully dressed, right, as if they're going to a chasana. And he says, this can't be where I'm supposed to be. And he goes to the second class seats. And he says, that can't be where I'm supposed to be. They don't look like me. So where does he go? He goes, of course, to the to the people who jump on the train without tickets, of course. And then he hides, and the conductor comes, and he slaps him. And he says, what are you? And let me see your ticket. And he says, you have a first class ticket. What are you doing here? Right? He slaps him because he's such a fool that he's sitting there, that he's in the cattle car. He's in the car with basically the people who sneak onto the train. It's a first class ticket. And that's happens to be the muscle of Dugna Magid, and that's life. Rabbi, we busy ourselves and we associate ourselves with the schmutz. I hate to be harif, with the garbage of what's going on in the outside world. You have a first class ticket. You're Bnei Yisrael. You're princes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you out of Mitzrayim. He loves us. Bnei Bechor Yisrael. And here you are. Your whole life is centered around, I hate to say it, but garbage. Right? You know what? I don't have to elaborate. I understand. Until a few years ago, I also was very into sports. I don't want to belittle the whole idea of following sports. But just, I'm not telling anybody here that if you're following sports, stop cold turkey and don't follow sports. But I am going to express there should be a certain recognition and awareness that that we're Bnei Yisrael. We're the Amanim. We're princes of God who created the world, who sustains the world. And these people could be they're nice people, they're selling okay, no question about it. They can put a round thing in a hoop, or they can take a piece of wood or aluminum, whatever it is, and take a rubber thing and put it past the goal. It's very nice. The athleticism is very nice to watch. Yes, I have to admit, yesterday, I was passing by one of the rooms in the house, and so I was watching Roger Federer against this guy with the Mohawk play tennis in the Miami Open. So I watched, I was watching for a few seconds. But I'm just saying, this is what, you have a first class ticket. What are you doing in the back of the train with these guys? Oh, yeah, because they make that, because the whole world says this is what chashuv. You have a first class ticket. I'm saying, you have it. And then Rishon Levinstein develops the famous Gemara in Erevim, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, which many of you are familiar with, that this world is likened to a chasana. It's like this chasana. And what do you have to do? Chatufi achil, grab and eat. Of course, it's referring to the Torah Mitzvos. They say over that the stipler, if I'm not mistaken, that's how when he was getting into Novartik, if I'm not mistaken, he was sent to the shul nearby, and before he was interviewed to get in, and they came to check him out, and what was he doing? He's saying, grab and eat. And that's the purpose of life. Rav Shlomo Levinstein has a different angle on what a chasana is. I don't know what the Gemara may mean about the world is like a chasana. And that is when a person, Be'ez Hashem, you should all be zochet to engage. And what are you going to do at the right time? right? And then you're gonna make all the arrangements. You're gonna get a hall and a caterer and a photographer and a band and everything. It comes to the chasna. They're gonna read the ksuba. They say Birchas Erison, and they say, "No, where's the ring?" They're like, the ring, what ring? Oh, we forgot the ring. You fool! You had everything you needed, right? You got all the things that are tofel, all the secondary items you got, the caterer, that's secondary. But if there's no ring, there's no chasana, right? If there's no Torah and mitzvahs, you're missing the life, right? You may be eating, you may be sleeping, but if you don't make a bracha, if you don't have a relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, you're missing life. You're missing everything. And that's one of the ideas of this in Gemara and Erevin. Life is like a chasana. Right? Chatuf v'achil, you have to grab the ikar. He even goes a step further. Can you imagine? Can you imagine chasana? Most people in this room have learned Kedushin this year. Can you imagine? Everything's great. Everything's perfect. Everything's fine. They have the ring, and the guy says, Harei Mekudeshes. And he doesn't say the word Li. There's no chasana. It's over. Li, get married to me. You can have everything in life. You can be walking around this earth. You can be zochah to find a nice parnasa. You can be zochah to find a nice wife. You can keep kosher. You can keep Shabbos. Right? You don't do any melacha. You can learn a little bit. But if there's no relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, b'chol derochah do'eyu, that you know Kaddish Baruch Hu in all of your ways, if you don't feel that you have a first class thing, if you don't feel, wow, I'm connected to the Kaddish Baruch Hu, if you don't look around, I'm sorry to say this, maybe I'm going a little bit too far. If a person sees non-Jewish people take a bat and ball and go, wow, and they don't say to themselves, okay, it's very nice, okay, it's entertaining, good, but I'm Jewish. I have a relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. I have Torah and mitzvahs. I was taken out of Mitzrayim. God, Kodesh Baruch Hu, brought the Makos and the Kriyas Yamsuf for me. Wow. I'm the one who's special. The paparazzi should be running after me, not that guy. Not the Tzelem Elokim, not the non-Jew. We can't forget we have a first class ticket. And now getting back to the answer to the question. The question was, what was the godless? Why are we so excited that a Kaddish Baruch Hu passed over our houses in Mitzrayim? We deserved any punishment? And the answer is apparently we did. Because the people in Mitzrayim, the Jews in Mitzrayim, didn't chop it. Okay, a lot of this is based on Midrashim, but basically what happened was, is that we know that when the Jews left Mitzrayim, they were still in Memtes Shari Tuma. Why were they in Memtes Shari Tuma? If they just witnessed a year full of Makos, why are they still Memtes Shari Tuma? Obviously, they didn't get the message that they have a first-class ticket. They didn't get the message that they're the chosen people. They didn't get it. They didn't get the message that life is about living with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. If you have the opportunity, make a mikdash, and I'll reside with you, I'll live with you, says Hashem Kaddish Baruch Hu. If they were still Memtes Shari Tuma, after all that happened that last year in Mitzrayim, there's something missing. And you know what? As they were leaving, you know what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu said, bring Korban Pesach. But you know what? They weren't fasting to bring Korban Pesach. Moshe Rabbeinu did. And all of a sudden, they started smelling the smell of Gan Eden. And the Jews said, where's that smell coming from? Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not Korban Pesach. They said, we started shechting our sheep, but it's not happening for us. He said, yeah, because you guys didn't do Bris Milah. You got to do Bris Milah, and you have to take the sheep, and you got to shecht it. And they went ahead, and what did they do? They also did Bris Milah. They did Korban Pesach, and sure enough, their korban also started to smell like the Reich of Gan Eden. So the answer about that the Jewish people are happy because the Kaddish Baruch Hu passed over their houses, because they weren't necessarily in the right matzah. We know the greater the person, the greater the judgment, right? Kaddish Baruch Hu is makbid on tzaddikim k'chod asayra, so too by the Jewish people. HaKaddish Baruch Hu performed all these miracles for the Jewish people last year in Mitzrayim, yet they didn't get it. They didn't realize they had the first class ticket. They didn't realize that they're on a different plane. They're in a different playing field. They're in a different stratosphere than the rest of the world. But they didn't get the message. And therefore, there's a certain element of chiddush. It was actually not so poshut that a Kaddish Baruch Hu passed over their houses and not kill their firstborns. You know why? Because it took them a long time to get this message. A very long time. And the raya is that we all know that they're on the Memtes Shari Tuma. How come? Weren't they inspired by what they saw? Dam, Tzvadeya, Kinim, Arav, Dervishchim, Arav, Choshech, Makas, Bechoros. And yet, therefore, the Makul Patis, the real thing was, hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, we realized, all of a sudden, wow, they had this epiphany. He passed over our houses. It wasn't a foregone conclusion, apparently. You know, afterwards, and by Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yam didn't want to split, because halal of the Avodah Zarah, halal of the Avodah Zarah. It still wasn't Pasha. They were still referred to as of the Avodah Zarah. Okay, they had a Taina, we were forced. But in the end of the day, it wasn't so Pasha. So now we understand why they said, listen, we are actually in shock. Even though we were the victims, we didn't think that we totally deserved. Because we understand, Jewish people recognize that they really did not take all the hints that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them, and that's why... That's what we say in the Haggadah. Even though apparently they realized that they were not necessarily worthy, but I think the tremendous lesson comes out that if can you imagine if the people of Mitzrayim didn't realize that they had a first class ticket, that they were so close to the Ribono Shel Olam, that they lived a life on a different stratosphere, in a different plane than the rest of the world. Certainly for us who live in modern times, it's a tremendous challenge. A person can go through life and thinks you're an Orthodox Jew. You can eat kosher, you can keep Shabbos, you can daven 3 times a day. But Nebuch, over the last few days, I'm not trying to single out any communities, I'm not trying to single out. I was at a mincha today that I would tell you, let me just calculate it for a second. I think it was an 8-minute mincha. It was the most ridiculous thing. I mean, I was there with... Actually, I'll tell you, my father, who happens to be very... has a lot of Yerushalayim, he was beside himself. Halachically speaking, we didn't have enough... I mean, I was davening Shemoneh Esrei, which I'll tell you in a second, point three. But we didn't have enough time to say Amen to the brachas, and this is actually a big halachic issue, saying Amen if he started the next bracha. It was mamish out of control. It was, like, ridiculous. It was like... But, again, I like to have a positive davening kavshchus. It's better they don't, you know, it's better they're actually coming to Minyan. I mean, the Minyan was packed, no question about it. I mean, the amount of talking was absolute insanity. But Rabbi Yisai, say, it's very nice. But it's a little bit of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Like, what are we doing here? A person can live through life. And I'm not trying to single out in the community, I'm not trying to give harsh masur. A person can live through life and think he's an Orthodox Jew. He can even learn. He can go to the Minyan 3 times a day. You can eat kosher, you can keep Shabbos. But you don't realize, they don't realize they have a first class ticket. Because in the end of the day, when push comes to shove and there's a challenge, they say, oh, you know, I can't make it because I have to go here, or I can't have kavanah because I'm thinking about too many things. You're missing out. The ikker. It's like saying Harim Kudesh is not saying Li. Without that, the Ribono Shel Olam and you are one. Yisrael, V'Yareis, V'Kudesh Baruch Hu Chadu. The Jewish people, the Torah, and God are one. Bechol Derecha Yodoeu. Right, tzaddik ben menos liyichil, live with Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, right? The famous Kutzker Rebbe said. They say over the Kutzker Rebbe, right? They asked him. I forgot who. I think his father said, "I'll give you a kopeck if you tell me where Hashem is." So he said, "I'll give you one if you tell me where Hashem isn't." And we got all their life. He says, "Hashem is wherever you let him in." Right? That's if I remember correctly. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, as long as you open your hearts. You can live with the Kaddish Baruch Hu every second, no matter where you are. Whether you're in the, you know, in Shir, in Davening, in the bathroom, you're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can live with Hashem. And that's the first class ticket we have to realize. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's like the genius of all geniuses. That's not even proper to say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knows everything. And he knows exactly why he put you guys in this world, Davke, this time. And actually, you know, I was thinking as I was reading this piece. If this is what the challenge that the people then, right before the Geula of Mitzrayim, that they didn't chop how great they were, Allah has come and come, that's our challenge. We can look around and see we're so distracted, we have no time to think. Today, it was a fascinating thing. I mean, I had all these funny stories. It wasn't so funny, but I just, you know, people have, you know, I was driving with my son on Queens Boulevard, and you see a woman, you guys, like, crossing the street, like, waving at her phone. Obviously, she's doing FaceTime, but, like, it's like, what is going on? Like, you can be totally oblivious to everything like that, and you can wave into your phone and walking across the street. You can be totally, like, Kaddish Baruch Hu made it that there's so much going on, yet we can miss out on the acre of life. To live with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, mamish. To live a life of Torah mitzvahs and gishmak. And we're not missing out on anything, right? That's number two. Number three, which happened to me after I finished Mor Esrei. One of these guys who I actually like a lot, or an old, a gentleman in his probably late 60s, early 70s, a very nice person. And this is a person who listens to shiurim. He's very an erlich person. Again, he's davening, takes him 2 seconds, and he's talking the whole chazar shots. He's a nice person. I really like the person. But he says to me, you know, he says, listen, he makes a joke in the middle of, probably in the middle of chazar shots, in the middle of kedush or kaddish. He says to me, haven't you been in yeshiva so many years? I would think that by this time, you know how to say the Shemoneh Esrei, you know, a little bit faster. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, like, dude, like, I didn't say that to him. I'm thinking to myself, like, are you joking? Well, my first reaction is that, on the contrary, as you get older in life, you realize how much more you need to cut Baruch in your life. I'm saying the stakes, I always say this, the stakes get higher and higher and higher. You know, Baruch, when you have a family, you have to worry about parnasa. You're connected to so many different families who need things and that things. And of course, I've probably said this over before, Shemoneh Esrei is in plural. You're not just dominating for yourself, you're dominating for all Klal Yisrael. The stakes are getting higher and higher and higher as you get older and older and older. So the Shemoneh Esrei doesn't take shorter. On the contrary, it takes longer. Because the more you grow in life, the more you realize how much more you need of Kadosh Baruch Hu. I think it's said over the name of Aaron Cutler, that it's a terrible thing that the more successful a person becomes, the less connected he is to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the more he feels like it's him. But it should be the exact opposite. It should be that the more success he sees in his life, the more Kadosh Baruch Hu, the greater his relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu should be. It shouldn't be the opposite. And which is so true, right? If a person's not successful in anything, okay. So then he can say it's him because it's not working out. But if things are working out, that means he should be much more. He should be marketing to the Kodesh Baruch Hu so much more. When a person gets older and he needs so much from God and he sees how much the Kodesh Baruch Hu has gotten him to that point, of course the Shemoneh Esrei should be longer. How could it be that a person should say, you know what? Oh, I know it already. You know it already? Right? They say over there, I think from the one of the Gaonim. Right, that he would say that each Shemoneh Esrei has to be even better because it's a new, you know, and over time an added revelation or added angle of his relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu has been exposed, that there's no way it could be the same. So, just to conclude the three major points which I want to give over to you. Now again, unfortunately I don't see you often enough. We try to stay in touch with the on behalf of the yeshiva. Their band, we try to stay in touch as much as we can. We ask you guys, please, whatever you need, either call me or any other Rebbeim, they'd love to hear from you. Whenever you're struggling, whenever you need some chizuk, contact one of the Rebbeim. We want to hear from you. We want to stay in touch with you. Just to recap, number one is that when a person falls, it's normal. But after you fall, you got to get back up. That's what life is about. That's what the Nisyon is here. The Nisyon is here to make us stronger. Right? You don't give up. You messed up. You messed up royally. I know, guys. I don't want to sit here and try to list like royally mess up. They still get up and get back, and they can become great again. I've said this. I don't know. If I've said this publicly, but yeah. I remember years ago when I was trying to off, and there was a guy who was trying to bet. He was on top of the world. He was the most serious guy, and I saw him that summer. And he was way down, and he got back up again. And now he's basically learning cuddle. He's now. You know, this is already 20 years later. But the point is, like, it's not a contradiction. A guy can, you can fall hard. Hopefully not so hard. But just get back up. And somewhere number two is that there's nothing else in life. There really isn't. Of course you have to make a parnassah. Of course you have to get married. You have to spend time on things that are necessary. But what are we here for? Like, literally, what are we here for? Behold, wherever you are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there, wherever you let him in. What, you're the prince. You have a first class ticket. I was when I read this, I was like almost in tears, like because it's so the world is so enticing. You can pick up a newspaper. You can listen to, like, wow, this is what. Oh, I gotta go to the big game. I gotta like follow this. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but person like that's his whole life. It could become his whole life. Everything else but Torah mitzvahs. And you can think you're religious. You can think you're orthodox, but you're missing it. Your mom is missing it, and you can read through that mushal. it's mamash like going to a chasm and saying, not saying late. It's like mamash taking everything, you know, making sure everything by the chasm is perfect, except for, you know, bringing the ring. It's like, it's so ridiculous, it's so sad. And it only takes a little bit of recognition and an awareness and a little bit of a push. Kodesh Baruch Hu, I want to be close to you. And number three, the idea of your tefillos. That your tefillos should only get more intense and more intense when you realize the more you need of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Reminds me of a mashal one where Rebbe once told me that when it comes to tefillah, right, he says as follows. He says, when someone wants to invite him to a wedding, if they happen to bump into him in yeshiva to invite him to a simcha, he probably won't come. Because it's only a matter of coincidence. But if they come over special to him in yeshiva, or they call him, or certainly send him an invitation, so then he feels more of a reason to attend. If the only time we talk to Hashem is during davening, that's ke'ilu, we just happen to bump into God. But when you're walking the streets, and you're going through a situation, and you want something to work out, you need, of course, the famous story about the parking spot, right? A guy looking for a parking spot, and he says, God, please, I need a parking spot. And in two minutes later, he finds it. He says, no, thanks, God, I found one. Right? Daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all areas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need this job to work out. I want to be Matzliach in this interview. I want to be Matzliach in this date. I want to be Matzliach in this test. I need to see out the Shemaya. I'm in traffic jam. I need to get there on time. Please help me out the Shemaya. Bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu to your life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to have a yontif to my family. Make the yontif kishmak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know what it's like to enjoy the beauty of Torah and Mitzvahs. I know what it means to enjoy a Shabbos. I don't feel it anymore in America. Hashem, please help me have a Shabbos of Kedusha. Help me feel it in my heart. I know I have a first class ticket. I know I'm a prince of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know I'm part of the chosen people. I'm having a hard time feeling it here. Whether it's NYU or Baruch, or NYU, wherever you are. I have a hard time feeling it in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please help me. And you'll see. Ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Siyata Shemaya. You can do it. I know it's hard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows it's hard. He knows exactly what you're going through. But all you have to do is let him into your life. Chaval, to live a life, and you guys are the chosen ones that have the schus learning in yeshiva. You're in a yeshiva setting. You have the opportunity, connection to Torah mitzvahs. Chaval, to live life as if you don't realize who you are. As if you don't realize you have a first class ticket and sit in the back with the guys just like, you know, just like going through the motions. You to look around. There's so many people, most people are like that. But when you think about the fact that they're in the midst of Ikhfism and the Shikha, and you guys already are on a high madrega because you went to yeshiva, and obviously you're here tonight, that means you're searching for it. You can do it. Ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help in every area of life. And certainly in your ruchness. If a person, you cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Sharei demos lo ninolu. The tears, the gates of tears are never closed. If you need help in Ruchnias, it's no problem. Ask away. Mamash, ask away. So again, just to review the three yisodas, if you fall, don't worry about it. Just get back up. That's what that's life. Don't worry about it. Number two, know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Live with Hashem. And number three, daven. Talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to help you. Just reach out to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu really should just give you, all of us, Siyat Nishmaya, in our Ruchnias. The Ikar is our Ruchnias. What else is there after 120? Just to put it out there. That's it. The only thing that matters. Nothing else matters besides Torah Mitzvahs. It's a challenge as anything. But can you imagine if you go ahead and you just push? Right? Pisul, shalulam. If you open up the eye of the needle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up the eye of the vestibule of the hall. All you gotta do is push. Just keep pushing. Keep pushing. And ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Siyata Shemaya. You should get Siyata Shemaya. You should have an Aliyah Dika Pesach. And Aliyah, first is gonna come Shabbos. Aliyah Dika Shabbos HaGadol. And Pesach. And just continue pushing and pushing and pushing. I'd be as Gol Tzedek. Have a great night and a great Pesach.